turn over to Revelation 19 tonight, would you please? Revelation 19. We've been talking about the doctrine of Christ, and we've been for the last little while on his future ministry. And in Revelation 19, we come to the marriage of the Lamb. And the Word of God said in Revelation 19 and verse number 7, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready." Well, if we just realize what God wants in our homes is a picture of his relationship with him and his church, amen, him and his bride. Pray with me a moment. Father, I thank you tonight for these precious people that have taken, Lord, time out in the middle of the week. I know some are very tired tonight. They work hard. Yet, Lord, they're faithful. God, I know some don't feel well. Some, Lord, would be here tonight if they felt better. God, I just pray you'll bless us tonight and help us as we look into your word to be a help to your people. Lord, I thank you for the joy of the Lord. Lord, I couldn't go on without it. It is our strength, truly. And I pray for those tonight, Lord, that'll be doing procedures, having procedures done tomorrow, seeing the doctor tomorrow. Lord, in this life, there's so many things that are uncertain. But Lord, we bless your name for those things that are certain. Lord, just as sure as we're standing here tonight, we've been invited to the marriage of the Lamb. Help us tonight. Now, in Jesus' name, and amen, and amen. We're not going to go over much, just to mention what we went over last Wednesday night. This marriage of the Lamb, it involves jubilation. A great deal of praise is going on when you read verse 1 down through verse number 6. And I remember as I was reading the text last week, it's the voice, not the voices, but the voice of much people. I think that's a blessing to realize that when we blend together, amen, it's just going to come out like one voice. And Jesus prayed that they may be one, even as we are one. What a blessing that is. And not only does the marriage involve jubilation and much praise, but it involves preparation. If you're going to be going to this marriage, you got to get prepared. Amen. You know, no one would tackle a wedding down here, I don't think, unless it was the Clampets. They might do it, amen, without much preparation. Most of the time, there's a lot of preparation, a lot of thought, a lot of money spent, amen, on weddings most of the time. But anyway, here, the wedding's bought and paid for, and the venue is glory, amen, with our Lord Jesus. But we must be prepared. But tonight, what I want to do is dwell on a thought or two tonight. It also involves an invitation. Notice what the Bible said here. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Look at verse 9. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage of the Lamb. That word called is stuck out to me. You know, you've been invited tonight to this marriage. You say, well, Pastor, I'm not saved. If you'd accept the invitation, you could be saved. Amen. You could be ready. You could be ready, be part of that bride, amen, of Christ. But anyway, tonight, God will help me. I want to talk about this call for just a moment. The Bible talks about an invitation. And if you look at the word blessed in the Greek language, it comes from a word makarios. And it's a prolonged form of the poetical makar, meaning the same, and it means to be supremely blessed. By extension, it means fortunate, well off, blessed, happy. When the Bible said blessed, beloved, there's a lot goes into that, amen. I thought about as I was preparing, for the time together with you tonight, I thought about Phil Robertson when he would say, happy, happy, happy. I'm going to tell you something. When we get to this marriage, honey, ain't going to be happiness like you ain't never seen before. Amen. The blessedness of our Lord. And I got to think about being called to the marriage. Did you know this preacher believes that nobody gets saved without being called? Amen. I believe salvation is initiated of the Lord. And I do believe He initiates that in every life. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Jesus is that true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. It's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. So that every man is without excuse. Are you following me right there? I'm telling you, beloved, many are called, but few are chosen. Amen. I believe we get called. We get that call. And beloved, listen, when that call comes, then we need to answer that call. I'm glad, thank God, I put it off for years. My pride kept me away from receiving that call. But there come a time in my life when my pride wasn't worth dying going to hell over. And I surrendered to that call. And I ran to Jesus. Amen. But let me give you some things tonight as I think about the marriage of the Lamb. And I know this may not help you or may not bless you like it did me, but it's blessed me just doing a little bit of study about how God has called us. Listen to what the Bible said in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9. He said, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who have called you out of darkness into light. Amen. Well, you know, we're going to a wedding, amen, the marriage of the Lamb, but it's because we've been called out of darkness into that marvelous light. I didn't know this really, or if I did, I had forgotten it, but that word peculiar means purchased, amen. Glory to God, He purchased us with His own blood, amen. It's going to be a happy day for the saints. But can you imagine what a day it's going to be for the Son when He gets to sit down with His bride? Amen. I believe it's going to be awesome, don't you? And then that praises, where it says show forth the praises. Another thing, another word there you could use is the virtues. Amen. And I thought about 2 Peter 1 and verse number 4. It says, wherefore are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. You see, I'm not real smart, but I know this. Brother Gary, if God's wanting to add in my life, amen, the devil's wanting to subtract, amen. And that's what this battle's all about. That's, Brother Jason, you mentioned that armor. We need to keep it on because, beloved, God wants us to add to that faith. That salvation that He's given us is full, it's free, but we can grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to knowledge, temperance, temperance, patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. I'm asking you tonight, is God in the adding business in your life? Because listen, when we get to that marriage of the Lamb, He's called us out of darkness. Yes, He has. He's purchased us, but He wants us to show forth those virtues, amen, that He's added in our life. The Bible said, for so an entrance. This is talking now about when we get home, and this is right before that supper. It shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And this is what Peter said. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them. How many times do we sit in the house of God and a preacher opens the Word of God to a passage that we know? But you know what God begins to do? If we know the passage, amen, but God begins to stir. And what the Bible said here, Peter said, yea, I think it meet. That word means necessary. As long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by way of remembrance. Amen. The Word of God, beloved. Listen, I believe this. I'm not just saying this. But if my heart is right and in tune with God, somebody can read me John 3:16 and something goes pitter-patter in my heart. For God so loved us, oh preacher, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So we're called out of darkness to this marriage. But then we're called to be holy. Listen, that is not a dirty word. Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen to me. I'm not trying to be mean tonight. But the Baptists were rejoicing in the things of God a long time before the Pentecostals ever got here. Amen. There's nothing wrong with holy living. Amen. Jesus said, be ye holy, for I am holy. Listen to what the Bible said. 1 Peter 1:15. But as He which hath called you is holy. Amen. So be ye holy in all manner of conversation. That word conversation, I know you've probably learned this, but it's not just talking about what we say. It's talking about our manner of life, how that we behave. I heard Brother Dale say something years ago that I've never forgotten. He said, if you believe right, you'll behave right. And I believe that. Say amen. If our faith is right, our actions will be right. Amen. If our actions are lacking, it's because our faith is lacking. We're not believing right. Amen. And then we're called to forgive. Notice what the Bible said in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9. Did you know that there'll not be anybody at that supper looking across the table with a grudge at somebody else? Say amen. There won't be no hurt feelings. There won't be nothing there to hinder the perfect praise of our God. This is what 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 said. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. I like that, don't you? God is telling us, beloved, that we're called. We're called out of darkness. We're called to be holy. We're called to forgive. I'm not going to stay there long, but turn over to Ephesians. The Lord just prompted my heart to go here. Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse number 30. The Word of God said, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed until the day of redemption. You say, what grieves God? We're going to find out. He said, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. But can I remind you of something? Paul is not writing to the barroom crowd. He's not writing, Brother Jason, to the drug addicts. He's not writing to the homeless on the street. He's writing to the church at Ephesus. Amen. And the Word of God said, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another. Tender-hearted. Boy, I like that about my grandson. I don't know what God's going to do with my grandson's life, but he's got a tender heart, brother of his. Well, I could see God doing something with him. He comes up with things that I don't even think about. Amen. I mean, he's 7 years old sitting on my lap. And I said, do you have any idea how much Papa loves you? Yeah, Papa, but Jesus loves me more. I'm telling you, beloved, that you can't buy that. Amen. We're sitting there watching the fireworks last year at Tweetsie Railroad. He said, every time I see one of them sparks, Papa, he said, I think of the men that's given their life so we can have the freedom that we have. I'm telling you, beloved, God can take a tender heart and use it for His honor and for His glory. He said, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Brian, you could never do anything to me that would even compare to what He's forgiven me of. The Bible said for me to forgive as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven me. So we're called to forgive. Now watch this. I know the TV evangelists are going to love this one. We're called to suffer. Did y'all know that? Listen, Brother Greg, you got it right when you talked to that man. You said, this is sin, son. Listen, we're in a sin-cursed world, and we're going to suffer because of sin. Watch what he said, 1 Peter 2:21. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in His steps. I like what old Paul said, though. I think he was from the South, maybe Tennessee, maybe North Carolina, somewhere like that. He said, "For I reckon, Brother Caleb, that the sufferings of this world are not worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us." Sister Gwen, I think about your sister a lot. Amen. And how that she suffered. Sister Dolores and the arthritis and the pain. And yet she left this world grading lessons for those inmates and doing what she could for the glory of God. Amen. I'm just telling you, beloved, we're called to suffer. Somebody asked an old preacher one time, said, "Why do God's people suffer like that?" He said, "They can't nobody else handle it." Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, we're called to suffer. Paul, when he was called, the Bible said, "But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians real quick. 2 Corinthians. I started to read this on Sunday morning, and the Lord brought me right back to it again. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, verse number 24 of the Jews. "Five times received I 40 stripes, save one." I added that up. I put a little note in the margin of my Bible. That's 195 stripes. That's a lot of stripes. I'm telling you, my daddy knew how to put a stripe on the back of your legs. I can tell you that. Amen. But I never did get anywhere close to 195. Amen. The Bible said here, "Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep. In journeys often. In perils of water, perils of robbers, perils by mine own countrymen, perils by the heathen, perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, perils among false brethren. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, and fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches." Then you go down there to verse 33, "And through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands." You go over to the next chapter, verse number 7, "Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing, the man of God cried out to God. I besought the Lord thrice or three times that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee." I'll tell you, beloved, it don't matter what God calls us to suffer. There's grace that's bigger than the suffering. Amen. And God's people suffer well. And God's people die well. We're called to suffer. And then we're called to eternal glory. The Bible said, "But the God of all grace," that goes with the song, Miss Paula, "the God of all grace who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus." Watch this now. "After this you have suffered a while." Hey, how long God's people going to suffer? Just a little while. Just a while, amen. And then the Word of God said, "Make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, that through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue." Let me say this tonight. If you're not interested in these calls, there's probably a good chance you're not interested in being called to the marriage. Because, beloved, listen, these are some calls that are going to happen before that we get to the marriage. We're going to be called out of darkness. We're going to be called to be holy. We're called on to forgive. We're called on to suffer. We're called to eternal glory. And then I'll give you this tonight. I want to finish this up, if I can, tonight real quickly. I want to say this. It involves not only, I believe that we talked about, involves jubilation. It involves preparation. It involves an invitation. But it also involves a realization. What are you trying to say, preacher? Look at it with me, if you would. The second part of verse number 9. The Bible said, "These are the true sayings of God." What we're preaching about tonight is not a fairy tale. Honey, it's real. the marriage of the Lamb, the coming of the Lord Jesus, God's people meeting their Savior. Amen. It is wonderful and it's real. The Word of God said in Romans 3:4, God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. God is true. These are the true sayings of God. In chapter 19 and verse 9, these are the true sayings of God. In chapter 22 of the book of Revelation, the Bible said, He showed me a pure river of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and the Lamb. In the midst of the street of Eden, either side of the river, there was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. They needed some of that at the speech last night, didn't they? I'm telling you, grown men and women acting like nursery kids. God help us, amen. God help us. Somebody voted for them. I don't know who did, but I know who didn't, praise God, amen. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and the servants shall serve Him, and they shall see His face, and His name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there. They need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. They shall reign forever and ever. And He said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent His angels to show unto His servants the things which must shortly be done. He said, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. I'm blessed tonight because I'm called to the marriage. But I'm blessed tonight because we can keep the sayings of this book. Keep them close to your heart. You're going to need them. Amen. What Brother Darrell's been through down there in Texas is unbelievable. And to see him pull through it, to God be the glory. Amen. Great things he hath done. We don't know what we might have to suffer before we get out of here. But I'll tell you, if you're a child of God tonight, you can know this. When you get out of here, the suffering's all in the rearview mirror. There ain't no suffering where we're going. Amen.